We've all had the experience driving on the highway when somebody's weaving in and out of traffic. And how do you feel when somebody speeds by that way? Are you indifferent? Of course not. You think, this person's treating the highway like a video game. This is serious. He's risking lives. There could be a pileup. Do you ever wish that person would be pulled over and you'd be able to see it down the road? Well, this happened to me a couple of years ago, driving down 795, bringing one of my children to the airport, and a car had gotten on our tail, very close, wove around the same thing to another car before weaving his way through and then going off over 90 miles per hour. Well, about 10 minutes later, I saw that car on the side of the road. Two men were standing beside it, and there are flames coming out from underneath the car. It was one of the most satisfying things I had ever seen. I mean, if you were to write a movie script, you couldn't do it better than that. The guys were safe, and they got their just desserts. But here's the question. Did I have an elder brother mentality in the way I saw those guys? Do you, as you identify with that story? Well, here's what I'm talking about. Recall that the older brother is at the end of the prodigal son story and often forgotten, but he saw his younger brother speeding in the fast lane of life, and he wanted his brother to have consequences for his reckless behavior. And he was angry when the son who wasted his inheritance was received freely without consequence. So let's answer that initial question. No, I don't think we had an elder brother mentality right there, because it's not a problem, first of all, for consequences to happen. That can be good for someone's soul. It's not bad to think there should be appropriate consequences. What matters is the heart. You and I aren't in a relationship with those two guys in the side of the car. We weren't refusing them anything. We weren't refusing them the ability to return. But let me just share with you another story, and perhaps you can relate to this. It was in college. I was on a crew team, and we were on our way to a meet. Being a club and not a varsity sport, we had to drive ourselves. And Jeff had a GTI with someone else in his car. And it wasn't just any Volkswagen GTI. He had souped it up with two big tailpipes that made extra noise. I had a Volkswagen Rabbit, still a fun car, but just one little tailpipe. So you can imagine what happens next. He did get pulled over. And so we got off to the side of the road, and the coxswain got on my shoulders and was cleaning off. We stopped at a speed limit sign, and he was cleaning it off. So when Jeff went by, we could rub it in. I still think there we didn't, it's all in good fun. I don't think we had the older brother mentality, but we're getting closer because, you see, we were in relationship with Jeff, and the question was, what would we do next? So now imagine this. Imagine if the coach said, you know, Jeff had a $1,000 fine for that excessive speeding, and he was going to have to go to court to contest it to get it down, but then he wouldn't be able to be at the next meet. So here's what I decided to do. I took some of the prize money that we all had from our wins, and I gave it to him to pay for his fine. Now, wait a minute. I happen to know that he got an advance in that prize money to get that big tailpipe to soup up his car. And so now you're using some of our collective winning money to pay for his ticket? Now that sounds like an injustice. Now he's taking something from me. Are we so happy about that now? Well, if you or I hold a grudge over Jeff in that moment, then you and I are tilting the scales towards the older brother mentality. So perhaps there's a little bit of older brother in all of us in certain circumstances. And what that does is that takes joy away from our lives. So the coach in this example is happy. Look, guess what? He's able to go to the next meet. And you and I are thinking, if we're in this situation, I think I'd rather have him miss out on that meet. Thank you very much. And so it is with the older brother who didn't share in the joy of his father, and then in his response took joy out of the whole situation. But this is Laetare Sunday, a time where we want to have the full joy of the prodigal son and even identify with him. So the only way we're able to truly have full joy is if we're able to get the older brother out of the picture. And this is actually the main point of the story, because if you look at the context, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who are looking at these Gentiles coming in, and they're saying, well, look, they didn't pay their dues. I mean, I kept all these rules in order to get my high position in among the faithful people of God, and you're going to give them even a better place, or at least an equal place with me? I'm not sure I'm with that. And there are certain circumstances in which we can all have this perspective as well. And so how do we get rid of what is a dark cloud over the circumstance when we look at others who have not paid their dues? How do we do that? How do we get rid of that grudge? Well, let me just be clear. You're not able to take the cloud over somebody else unless you fully embrace the extent to which God has taken the cloud away from you. What am I getting at here? Well, if you remember the story, we have some words that I think are fairly famous words. When the son, prodigal son, decided to come back to his father, it says he came to himself. Just a Hebrew idiom, meaning that he came to his senses. And so, in light of this, yes, he came back, that made sense. But in light of the gospel, he didn't fully come to himself. He didn't expect to have the full status of a son. He said, I'll be happy just to be treated as a servant. And that was his own intention in coming back to the father. But then, what did the father do? As we know, he put the ring on his finger, gave him a cloak, killed a fatted calf. You have full status as my son. And brothers and sisters, the prodigal did not fully come to himself until this moment, until he embraced his full status as the son. And so the question for you and me, do you receive the same? Now, I think you and I understand that if we all who are gathered here today, knowing you as a congregation, understand that when you go to the confessional, yes, you know theologically that you receive the full status as a son. You know that the Mass is for forgiveness of sins. And if this were to show up on a multiple choice test, I think probably everybody here would get the right answer. But the question is, in real time, as you're going through life, do you fully receive that? Do you fully receive that you have been forgiven? Or do you feel like, because you've sinned, that there's still a bit of a cloud over you? Yes, you've paid your dues, but that still some cloud remains. You haven't, because of your past, you're not really fully back. And if that's the case, then you will hold a grudge over others. You will treat others the same way. If there's a cloud over me, well, certainly there should be a cloud over him. You may not be thinking it this way, but this is what happens. This is what happens in our hearts. So let's look at this from another angle. Let's imagine this whole idea of the inheritance is like a pie. And so the prodigal son receives his pie, his full inheritance, and he goes out and he comes back with a portion of the pie gone. Or at least in this case, the whole pie is gone, right? Now, you and I may not identify fully with the prodigal son, but at least we often feel like a part of our pie is still missing. We certainly, I mean, look at my life. I mean, the skeletons in the closet. I can't erase that past, that report. There are still pieces of the pie missing. At least they're marred to some extent. I could try to push the icing over it and make it look better, but really it's not all there. You know. But if that's how you feel, then there's still a cloud over you internally. And you're going to look at others who don't have a full pie, and you're going to say, they need to feel that too. But here's the reality, if you're in Christ. Yes, you still have, look at it this way. If you're in Christ, then there are two pies. You have the mud pie of your previous life. But after having returned, you get a new pie. That is what was received by the prodigal son. The one pie is, I am a great sinner. The other pie is, he is a great savior. And that is the only one that matters. To grow in holiness, to grow in the Christian life, is to grow in realization that you have that full pie. And as you do, then you will judge less. You will hold a grudge less. You will want to treat others through the same lens of mercy that you have received. And that is the process that we go through all of Christian life, to come to ourselves, to be who you already are in Christ Jesus, which is the message of the gospel. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, you are light in the Lord. You are light. But then he says, but the imperative, now walk as children of the light. Be who you already are. Realize this and live accordingly. But this is a challenge when we see others who have not paid their dues and we want to hold back from them. We all experience this to some extent, and this takes away the joy that we could have, the joy that we have being all prodigal sons as well. And so how do we make the change? How do we go there? Simply stated is that you cannot do it in your own strength. We need to get rid of the older brother. We need God's grace. In light of this, I'd like to share with you a story from Corrie ten Boom. And some of you may remember her, maybe you're familiar with her otherwise, but I know she was new to many of you as I shared about her about a year and a half ago. She was somebody who wrote in her book, The Hiding Place, about her experience in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. And she talked about the exceeding holiness of her sister, Betsy. And after the war, she had the opportunity to go around talking about her experience. Betsy died in the concentration camp, but the witness of Betsy's life was that nothing can separate us from the love of God, nothing. And one thing that Corrie ten Boom realized in the Netherlands, where she was from, is that the people who were the least forgiven were the collaborators. They're brother citizens who collaborated with the Nazis. But you know what? Corrie ten Boom didn't have a problem with forgiving her brothers and sisters this way. But then it came one moment when she was speaking in Munich at a worship service. And she walked out of the service, and then there it was. The first time she'd encountered one of the SS guards, she recognized him from when they went into this concentration camp in Ravensbrück, the same camp that killed her sister Betsy. And this was the guard that spoke to her and wouldn't look her in the eye as she had to enter into the shower and strip herself bare. And he stood and he said, dear sister, thank you for sharing the gospel today. It's so good to know that our sins are washed away. And he extended his hand towards her. And she said, I could not move my hand. It was as if it was glued to my side. I had absolutely no ability to raise my hand to this one who certainly, talk about someone who did not pay his dues. But she prayed. She prayed, God, I need you to do it. And supernaturally, her hand went up. She didn't know how. But as she grabbed his hand, she felt a current of grace go through her, to her and to him. And she had deeper joy return. Now, this is a deeper situation than perhaps you experience day to day as you experience judgment or a grudge towards others. But suffice it to say that God can enable us to be healed by his strength. And so it's a two-way street. On one hand, yes, we need to realize how much we are like the prodigal son in order to extend the grace to others. But sometimes it's not until we extend that grace that we receive the full joy of being prodigals ourselves. And if we were to go back, if we were to rewind the tapes and look back at Corrie ten Boom's account of entering into Ravensbrook, then we'd also realize that it was at that moment that Betsy's faith really came across to Corrie, when she realized that God is even here in Ravensbrook, because she realized as she was being denied, as she was being deprived, as she was being stripped, Jesus experienced this too. He did more of this for me. And so Corrie ten Boom, in extending that grace, knew that Jesus paid more for me and I can give all to others. Nothing is owed to me horizontally. Jesus has done it all. So truly, we can say, in light of this, that yes, we are lost. We were lost, but we have been found. And you and I may not have a big tailpipe on the back of our cars so we can zoom through the literal highways of life, but we've all had it on in other ways. But we've all been received. Let's receive that grace anew today and extend it to our others so that we can rejoice.